Okay, we're talking about "In God We Trust." All right, that is our national motto, as we saw in our first lesson, and we even have it on our money. All right, that we, and again, as I mentioned the first time, I don't know how much longer we're going to have that on our money, but right now it's still on our money. "In God We Trust" as a people. Now, I told you last time about story about a person who found a penny laying in the parking lot. How many of you still have your "In God We Trust"? We don't call these pennies. These are "In God We Trust." They are worth stopping and picking up. Not have a lot of monetary value, but they remind us, each one of us, that we need to continue to trust in God. And so I hope you'll hang on to that "In God We Trust." But then we have this question, do we? We say we trust in God, and we talk about trusting in God, but do we really trust in God? See, that's what this study is all about. We tell people when they're facing some kind of problem or turmoil in life, well, just trust in God. What does that really mean, though? To trust in God, to really, truly trust in God, what does it mean? Say, and do we really mean it, or is it just something that we say that is convenient because we don't really know what else to say? Just trust in God. Okay. Part of what this study is all about is causing us to really examine ourselves and ask ourselves seriously, do I really trust God in all of these different aspects of my life? Do I really trust in God? That's what the challenge is. We face a lot of different situations and circumstances throughout our lifetime. And it's really easy for us to look at it and say, well, I just got to trust God. I just got to trust God. But again, do we? And in the midst of those different challenges and circumstances and situations that we find ourselves, what is God doing? Okay? What is God doing when those things are going on in our lives? And not only that, but how does God call upon us to respond in those different circumstances and situations and things going on in our lives? It's all about learning to trust in Him. It is a choice that we have to make to truly trust God. Here's a challenge for us in that. We need to show God how much we trust Him in those things that we know that God calls upon us to do. We talked about that last time, and that, you know, there's a lot of things that in God's Word that He tells us specifically what we're supposed to do. But we show that we truly trust Him when we're doing those things that we know that He's told us to do. And if we don't learn to trust Him in those things, then how will we ever learn to trust Him in those things that we really don't know? So the challenge for us to begin with is to be really focusing on trusting God. When He tells me to do this, just trust Him. Even though I don't know how it's going to come out, I don't know how other people are going to respond, I don't know what's going to happen, trust Him and do what He says anyway. Then when you're faced with those situations where maybe it's not so clear what am I supposed to do, it will be so much easier just to trust Him. That He's going to work it out. Okay? So, this morning we're talking about our daily bread. Trusting God when it comes to our daily bread. And we start out with talking about prayer. Okay? What is referred to as oftentimes as the Lord's Prayer or as the Our Father, it's also referred to as the Model Prayer. That was read for us by Brian this morning as we began. Okay? Now, what we need to understand about this prayer is that Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray. Right, giving them some guidance in what their mindset and their heart ought to be focused on when praying. I don't believe that Jesus ever intended for this prayer to be recited as a prayer on a regular basis. Now, is there anything wrong with reciting that prayer? No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I don't think that his intention was for this to be a specific prayer that is to be recited over and over again. Why do I say that? Well, we go to verse 7, the part that we began at in this, and notice what it says there in different translations. For instance, the King James translation says, "Do not use vain repetitions." And a lot of times, a prayer like this can basically become this vain repetition where people are just saying it. They're saying the words of it because they learned the words of this prayer, but they're really not paying a whole lot of attention to what specifically they're saying and what they're praying about. In the New International Version, that very same verse says, "Do not keep babbling." Okay? And the English Standard Version says, "Do not heap up empty phrases." Okay? So you see, taking a prayer like that and just repeating it over and over again without really paying a whole lot of attention or really understanding what it is that you're praying, what you're saying in that prayer, can indeed be vain repetition. It can be babbling. It can be empty phrases. So again, I don't think that Jesus' intent was to say, here's the words that you need to say in this prayer in this order and so forth. He didn't give us a prayer to pray specifically, but rather was teaching how we should pray. What are some of the things that we need to be focused on when we are praying? So that having been said, let's take a look at verse 11. Because in that prayer that Jesus is teaching his disciples, us, you and I, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, you've said that prayer probably many, many times. Did you ever stop to think what this verse really is all about? Give us this day our daily bread. Okay? And really, I think more than anything, what Jesus is emphasizing here is that God wants you and I to trust Him for our daily needs. Okay? Not just the physical bread that we eat, although that's a part of it, but for our daily needs. Notice that He says, give us how often? This day, our daily bread. Okay? So how often should we ask for our daily needs to be met? How about daily? Okay? How about daily? And I think that was his intention in showing us how to pray. So when you pray, is this part of what you pray about? God, give me today what I need. Do you go to God each day and ask Him to provide to you what you need for that day? That's really the point here. Give us this day our daily bread. Do we trust in God enough to look to Him to provide on a daily basis what we need? That's what Jesus wants us to be praying about, our basic needs. Now, notice that this is not about our daily wants, is it? Okay? All right? This is about our daily needs, not our wants. What are those basic needs? Well, really, they come down to these three: food, shelter, and clothing. These are our basic daily needs, are they not? Now, there's a whole lot of other things that we could put in there that would probably more likely fall under the category of our daily wants, okay? But they truly are things that we can do without. Okay? And a lot of those things that we think are our needs are things that we can do without for a long, long time. Because they're not really needs, they're wants. Now, is there anything wrong with asking God for what we want? Nothing wrong with that at all. God wants us to come to Him and ask Him. Okay? But God does not promise to give us our daily wants. He calls upon us to ask Him for our daily needs. All right? What do we need each day? And so basically that is when Jesus talks about our daily bread, that's what He's talking about, our basic needs that we have every day. And what does He tell us to do? We need to be praying about those daily needs. And we need to be praying about them, again, how often? Daily, you say. Give us this day, Jesus says, our daily bread. But it's a matter of trust. You see, because the problem is oftentimes we don't really trust God to give us our daily needs. We tend oftentimes to focus on our own needs. So again, is it a question of do we really trust God? Oh, we don't. We try to focus and trust on ourselves and our own ability to take care of all of those things. And then oftentimes we wonder why we struggle so often, even on a daily basis, with having these basic needs met. So why don't we sometimes have enough food? Or, you know, our mortgage keeps getting threatened, or our rent at the end of every month, we're struggling to make that payment. Or maybe, you know, our clothes, we need more clothes, but, you know, we're struggling. We don't have enough money to buy those things. Challenge that I'm issuing to us is to ask ourselves seriously, am I really trusting God on a daily basis to provide these things, or am I truly trusting in myself and my own ability to do these things? And part of that trust is, and we'll talk about this more in just a few moments, is about how much are we doing in terms of giving back to God, where He promises to take care of our needs. Okay? Well, let's talk about first about the camel and a needle. It's another important aspect of this whole thing of trusting God when it comes to our needs, our daily bread. And this is, comes from the story of the rich young ruler. Okay? And Matthew tells us that there's this young man that comes to Jesus and he's asked Jesus that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay. You look at what's going on here with this young man, it's like he has secured for himself this life on this earth, his physical life, he's secured that with his own wealth. He's got all that taken care of. And so now the only thing he really needs to worry about and be concerned about is eternal life. It's like, I've got this life taken care of. What about the next life? What do I need to do, Jesus, to make sure that the next life is taken care of? Well, how has he taken care of this life? He's done that with his wealth. Okay? Now it's time to focus on eternity. So he asked this question, what must I do? And it's almost, you can almost see like there's this checklist that he wants to go through, that he's gone through in his life, okay? And so there's like, okay, I've got food taken care of, I've got shelter taken care of, I've got clothing taken care of. Financially, I am secure. I've got all of that stuff taken care of. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff, right? Because I'm wealthy. all of his basic needs are taken care of. Well, who's taking care of him? He is. You don't have to worry about anything physically because he has great wealth. Now, he might not have understood this, but where did that great wealth come from to begin with? Came from God, right? Okay? So the problem is not that he had great wealth. The problem is that the great wealth had him. We'll talk more about that in just a moment, okay? But he's got this, in a sense, kind of this checklist. He's got all of that stuff, the daily physical needs and secure for the future, all taken care of. All of that is checked off. And so then it's what's next on my list. And that, I believe, is what prompts the question to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay? Because you see, that's now on his list, but it's not checked off. I need to find out, what do I have to do to put a check mark next to eternal life so that I make sure I've got that covered and I don't have to worry about anything anymore? At least it seems that the young man recognized that his money was not going to get him to eternal life in heaven. What he failed to recognize is that that very same money would stand in his way and keep him from achieving eternal life. So it couldn't get him there, but it could prevent him from getting there. Jesus answers this young man by saying, keep the commandments. And as we've talked about this before, I always tell you, I like, you know, the next question the young man says is, which ones? As if there are some commandments you have to keep and some you don't. It's like, well, which ones? What's the ones that I have to keep? Are there really commandments that we don't have to keep? Are there some things that God has told us to do that we can just ignore and say, oh, I don't need to worry about that one? No. I just want to make sure y'all are hearing now, not hearing any response. No. God wants us to keep all of His commandments, right? So this question, which one, is just kind of an odd, but yet Jesus kind of goes along with him, doesn't he? It's almost like, you know, I can almost sense Jesus going, poor thing. And so Jesus gives him a list, a checklist, if you will. I like the first one. And Jesus, you know, obey your father and mother, do not murder, you know, and gives him a list of some things. And then he says, all of these things I have kept. In some translation, or I think it's Luke and Mark that say, since I was a youth. So he's kept all these commandments he's kept. So he's got it, right? And in this translation, he says, what do I still lack? In other words, I want to make sure I've got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. I want to make sure that all the bases are covered. Is there anything, Jesus, that I'm missing? And Jesus says, one thing that you still lack. One thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I can just imagine that when Jesus says one thing, this young man might have possibly kind of, and this is just, you know, Russ, this is a Russism, okay? Just kind of speculating here. But he might say, oh, one thing, that's it? That's all? One thing? What is it, Jesus? Tell me, just, what's the one thing? Probably he might have been considering it's got to be some minor little thing, okay? So he's ready. What is it? What's the one thing? And Jesus says, go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and then come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. One thing. Now that one thing could be a little thing, could be a big thing, could be anything in between. But if it's one thing, big or little, that would stand between us and God, then it's everything. And that's what it was with this young man. Because the Bible tells us that this young man went away sorrowful because he had great wealth. So that one thing that stood between him and eternal life was his money, his wealth. Why? Was it simply because he was wealthy? No. It was because he was not willing to let go of his wealth and learn to trust in God for everything in his life, but rather was trusting in his wealth to take care of him. And God challenges us to learn to trust Him for everything that we need. And it doesn't matter how much or how little money we have. The issue is learning to trust Him for everything that we have in our life. To truly trust God. And Jesus said to his disciples, talks about how difficult it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Is it because God doesn't like wealthy people? No. Again, where'd they get the wealth from? It's a blessing from God. But it's because they allow the wealth to become their security. And that's where they put their trust so often, is in their own wealth rather than in God. It's interesting that the disciples respond to what Jesus said here by saying, well, then who can enter the kingdom? And Jesus says, with man, everything is impossible, but with God, how much is possible? All things. All things are possible with God. And so, again, the issue here is learning to trust in Him. Well, finally, let's talk about that how much or how little. Because it's not really a matter of wealthy people can't go to heaven. It's what are we doing with the amount of money, no matter how big or how small that it is. Are we truly trusting in God for our daily bread? Well, the story of the widow's mite, okay, or the widow's offering, or the two mites, whatever label is put on it, and there's a lot of different labels, okay, is this story about where Jesus is there with his disciples, and they're there standing aside from the temple treasury, and they're watching people put their money into the temple treasury. They're making their contributions, their offering, if you will, like we did just a few moments ago. All right, they're taking up the collection, although at that time they had bins or what have you that people would actually come up and put their money into. And Jesus, standing there with his disciples observing this, said that he observed that there were many rich people coming and they were putting in large amounts of money, it says. And then there is this poor widow that comes up and she puts in two very small copper coins or two mites. And my understanding is that the mite, or that little copper coin, was at that time the lowest valued coin in existence. And she was blessed because she had two of them. Okay? She had two of them. And she put both of those two coins in the temple treasury. And notice what Jesus says as he observes what is taking place here. Right? All of these other people, this woman has put in more than all of the others. Okay? Now, not monetarily, she didn't. Obviously, they're putting in lots of money. She put in the two smallest denomination coins that could be, as far as value. But Jesus says she put in more than all the others. Why? Because they gave out of their abundance. One translation says they gave what they did not need. Which is basically saying, you know, they had extra and they weren't going to miss it at all. So giving it really didn't bother them. It didn't hurt them one way or another. There was no sacrifice. It was just, I got to give something, and so I got a lot to give, I'll give. So they gave, Jesus said, out of their abundance, but this poor widow put in all she had to live on. She gave everything. You say, well, how? How could she do that? Because she trusted in God for her daily bread. She truly trusted God, that she gave everything to Him, believing that God was going to take care of her. Now, again, keep in mind, she's described here as a poor widow, so she didn't have a lot. But what she did have is her daily bread. Her needs were being taken care of by God. And she trusted Him that much that she gave everything that she had. That is a statement of trust. It's a huge contrast between those two, isn't it? To give what you don't need, what you won't miss, you know, you got so much, versus to be giving everything because you trust God. That He's going to give you what you need. The story of the two mites. The rich people gave out of their abundance because they wouldn't miss it at all. But this poor woman gave, Jesus says, out of her poverty all that she had, trusting God for her very existence. What a huge contrast between the two. God wants us to learn to trust Him for our very existence. And really, truly, isn't that what we need to learn to do in everything? For our very lives. So trusting God for our daily bread, learning to truly trust in Him, what does that really mean? Well, I want to suggest to you it means praying on a daily basis, asking God to provide for your daily needs on a daily basis. Okay? It also, I think, means to look at and to see what one thing or two things or whatever, however many things, might possibly be standing between me and God. Those things that I'm really putting a whole lot more trust in than I am in God. That I need to get those things out of my life. The only other alternative is to recognize what they are, as the rich young ruler did, and walk away sorrowful because I'm not willing to let go of them. And then it means truly being willing to give God everything in faith and in trust that He is going to provide what we need. Trusting God for our daily bread, our daily needs. It's a lot of different areas that we need to learn to trust in God. But two things that I want to remind you of before we have our invitation song. One is that, as we said, until we learn to trust God with the things that we know, we'll never learn to trust Him for the things that we don't know. And secondly, that God wants us to truly learn to trust Him every day in our life for our daily needs. And it's so easy for us to neglect that. It's so easy for us to go about our business day after day and never even think to stop and ask God to bless you with your daily needs for that day. And then sometimes again we wonder, why don't we have those things that we need? So the challenge is for us to do that. So how much do you trust God for your daily bread? And how much do you trust in yourself to provide those things for you? That's what I want you to think about and weigh that out while we're singing our invitation song. Maybe some areas of your life where, that could be that one thing that you're allowing to stand between you and God. Whatever that is, I challenge you to get rid of it today. Let go of it and trust truly in Him. There may be somebody here this morning who's not yet a Christian. You have not given your life to Christ. You need to recognize and understand that you're still lost and separated from God by your sins. But the great news is that you can have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism this morning, and you can become His child if you're ready to make that commitment. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, truly trusting in Him, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We have water right behind me that's ready. You can do that right now. If there's some other need that we can help you with, all you got to do is let us know. Ray and Dale will be in the back to receive anyone if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them. And I'll be right up front here to receive anyone that would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.